Hey, Craig.
Recording. Hello, Craig. He's a good friend.
I know. I've played around with him a little before.
I should have known better than to cheat a Craig. Guilty.
No, right?
Got no rhythm.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Guardian Hub podcast, a podcast about Destiny and our experiences in the game. We spotlight different guests and communities, and we strive to be a place to talk about uplifting experiences that we have had. With me tonight, as always, we have Sin. How are you doing, Sin?
Damn push to talk. I was super excited until push to talk didn't work, but I'm good. How are you doing?
Glad to hear. No, I'm doing good. And with us tonight, we have a very special guest. Our inaugural guest tonight is Mr. Des Raven. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastical.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. We wanted to have you on as a guest, but let's start with, Des, please tell us just a basic history, however much you want. How did you first start getting into gaming?
Oh, God, that can be an extraordinarily long and arduous
topic. I know, right?
Or arduous topic. I don't know. It's kind of always been around for me. One of my earliest memories of being together with my family, because I mean, my parents divorced, and so like me and my siblings, we're kind of split a lot of the times. One of the times my sister came down to live with us, I just remember we were in this farmhouse almost, and as a family, we were huddled around the TV playing Pac-Man on her Atari, and it was just a really cool bonding memory that I have from when I was 5, 4, somewhere in there.
Sure.
And then some years down the road, my parents bought me a Nintendo, and that pretty much got me hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, the original NES, I'm assuming?
Yes. Yeah, OG. Bought it from this guy. I think it was from a newspaper ad or something. I don't know how, but it was a dude that came over. It's like, here's a Nintendo, here's how it works and such. It's like, okay, so you can get the, he has a choice of three games. It's like, oh, that's cool. And of course, I went with the Mario and Duck Hunt combo cartridge because that came with the light gun. So it's like, duh. Oh,
yeah.
And then my second choice was actually a Gauntlet, because we fired it up, we played it. And of course, like I said, I was still young, so it was probably 7 or so. And it's like, oh my God, this video game is talking to me. I have to have it. Still never got far in it, though, because Gauntlet's hard.
Now, question for you. You said the guy, newspaper ad, he came to your house, showed you how to use it. Did he also show you how to get the cartridges to work if they weren't working? Like the blow on it method, to stick something on top of the other
cartridge method? Yeah, right. Well, no. The cartridge sandwiching, I learned myself. But was definitely shown the blow method. And that's... That's the wording I'm choosing on that one.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Classic memories. I forgot about that, of course, too. How do we get the cartridges to work, or what are we supposed to do with this or that?
Exactly.
Yeah. Good times. I mean, yeah, I love NES. It was one of my first ones also.
Yeah.
And just remembering the game genies that you would attach to the cartridge and then stick in there with it. Yeah.
Mind blown.
People growing up with Xboxes and PlayStations don't know the struggles or the fun times that we had with original NES.
Oh, going to the store just to get the latest issue of EGM, just to get the Game Shark codes. Memories.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Did you have kind of an in-between gaming experience leading up to Destiny? Or did you ever get out of games? And what brought you to Destiny eventually?
Potentially, I never really got out of gaming. I kind of dropped from console gaming for a while after I got my Super Nintendo. My brother actually was getting me into computers. So from the ages of 14 to like 18-ish, I was like getting into computer games, which, God, that was like over a decade ago. Oh, anywho. So anyway, early computer gaming. I think one of the last things I got for my PC was Diablo 2, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I had moved away from home, ended up moving back to my hometown, like was getting re-caught up with the Sony side of things. So like I rebought a PS1, and it was just after like the PS2 Slim came out. So I was catching back up then, and I stuck with Sony for, I mean, I'm still with Sony because that's where Final Fantasy was, and that was my jam. But now, I mean, I was like an RPG guy, and it's just, when I heard, you know, Bungie was working on Destiny, it's like, hey, they did Halo. I remember hanging out with my friends playing Halo. It'd be pretty fun. A friend was able to had like an extra beta key.
Oh, nice.
On PS4, I'm still not like bought into the whole thing. It's like, oh, pre-order and get beta access. That's not going to earn my pre-order.
Sure.
There's only two franchises I pre-order. Like, no questions, or actually three. It's Final Fantasy, Mortal Kombat, and Fallout. Those games I pretty much pre-order regardless, or get them very quickly. But so yeah, so ended up getting a beta key anyway, and I demolished that beta. I had actually gotten, I literally made and got six characters to the maximum level, like as geared out as I can. I had played that beta enough to where I could solo Sepix. It was ridiculous.
Well, and from what I understand also, I didn't start that early in the game, but was there not as much content at the beginning, of course?
It was, well, yeah, in the D1 beta, it was Earth, for the most part. I mean, it took you up until the Sepix Prime Strike in the beta.
Got it.
I mean, it was a good chunk of Earth, but some things still got, like, changed around a bit. Like, you know, a few voice lines, such as the infamous "That Wizard Came from the Moon."
I know. I wish I was
in. Never know that one.
I wish I was in the early days of Destiny. Sin and I kind of started. I started just a little after Taken King, and he started year three. But yeah, I hear of amazing times. And of course, coming into the game later too was kind of nice. We got to experience a huge, huge plethora of content all at once, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of glad I stuck with it for as long as I had. Because, I mean, I could only imagine, like, you know, jumping in, especially like Rise of Iron, with like so much stuff to go through and everything, it could almost seem daunting.
Yeah, but a lot of fun nonetheless. Oh, well, that's sure. Awesome to hear about your experiences with that and Destiny. And also tell us, I hear you're on a show called the RNG Cast.
Yes.
For the listeners who are unaware of the show.
There might be a couple. No. the RNG Cast, I mean, oh God, how do I even introduce such,
how long have you been doing it again for?
It is nearly 3 years that we've been doing RNG Cast. I mean, it's a little ridiculous. It's absurd. It's an absurd little idea. From three people, we were all in, Destiny Reset podcast clans, me, Buster, and Business when we started, and we had like no podcasting experience. I think the Buster was in one formerly, but it was, you know, another like smaller thing. And we just all, it was during, if anyone remembers, the great Omnigul farming, when Omnigul hit the solar burn and people realize it's like, hey, you take two Celestial Nighthawk gunslingers and like one other solar whatever, you can pretty much farm and murder her relentlessly. So that was actually me, Buster, and Biz for like 3-4 hours, just sitting around talking, multiply killing Omnigul over and over and over and over again. And then like a couple weeks after that, we get a message from Buster. It's like, hey, I'm going to start a podcast. You in? Sure. Then we brought Biz in, and I mean, we started, and I mean, I guess as they say, the rest is history.
The rest is history. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're still going. We kind of have the, our own personal view that we're kind of a podcast and we have our opinions. But we stick to our opinions, you know? I mean, they may not be popular opinion. They might be a hot take. You may not agree with them, but we still, it's like our opinions we talk about. Like, if we think a change is good or bad, we'll say that. But as you know, like I said, it's a personal thing. We have absolutely no ulterior motives. We don't try and like super plead, or at least I for sure don't try and please anybody with the things I say. I just try not to be offensive. And that's my goal.
I really appreciate that. And one thing I've enjoyed listening to the podcast and everyone's opinions over time is, yeah, you said it may not be the popular opinion, but a lot of times it's opinion I agree with when so many people are down on Destiny on certain things like you guys, and we can talk about things where like, yeah, this, we may see this as an issue, but you guys aren't understanding the big picture. It's actually pretty good because of this, this, and this. And I really appreciate that from you guys.
Yeah, exactly. I try and like, I've been the type of person to see, to kind of be able to see arguments from like both sides of a fence. And I kind of try and bring that, you know, into things and give like a macro opinion and like the potentials of how things work. Because I mean, I'm not a game developer. I'm not in that business. But there are certain common sense things that should like, you know, transfer over when at least formulating an opinion, you know, or at least, you know, that's my mindset.
Oh, that's awesome. And yeah, we were friends of the show and very happy to have you on.
I have. I'm like super honored.
Anyone listening to this podcast, please check out the RNG cast also.
Yes, we there's a very long back catalog of long episodes. Isn't that right, Finn?
Lots to listen to.
Yeah, that reminds me. Have you ever taken the total time of the podcasts, like added up every episode that you've done, like how long they were and how many days, months that equates to if somebody were to listen to it straight through?
I do keep a running tally. It can take me a hot second to actually bring it up. But yes, I keep a running tally of all of our published episodes, actually. I mean,
so how much time, so like total time of podcasts are currently out there? You have that.
Let's see. As soon as Google Drive actually opens up for me.
This is great. So if someone is new into podcast, all they need you to subscribe to is the RNG cast and ours, and you will have plenty to listen to with RNG cast, even though we are just started. No, there's a lot of great podcasts
I believe, as long as this is still accurate, we have a total of 361 hours, 15 minutes, and 14 seconds.
Wow, congrats. That is awesome.
So, yeah, it's massive. And I
so 361 hours, right?
Yeah, 361 hours.
Divided by 24 hours, that's a total of just over 15 days, somewhere between 15 and 16 days of straight through listening. So take 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Stay up every night and listen. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. I couldn't imagine having that much time under my belt. That is truly awesome. And I'm super excited. Okay. Like Kingsley said, to have you on. You guys do put out some awesome content. We do appreciate the opinions. And like Kingsley said, yeah, we tend to agree with them. So.
Yeah, we want to have this be a place where we talk about Destiny. We're not afraid to have people on that disagree with certain aspects. But I do feel like at times some of these negative popular opinions get joined upon too quickly without people doing their own research. And that's where we like to.
Exactly. Yeah, because I mean, it really, especially like currently in the Destiny community, it can get a little hive mindy like fairly quickly, to be honest, in like a lot of podcasts. You know, and it's not like completely, you know, like a person's fault or anything. It's just sometimes you kind of go with the flow. You're like, you hear a person that, you know, you trust and you're like, well, I agree with what he's saying. So that's as far as I'm going, type deal. And I mean, sometimes it's just not, you know, completely healthy. I mean, another reason I stuck with this, because I mean, I used to listen to a bunch of like the popular podcasts, especially, you know, like 4.5, 5 years ago when you only had like 3 really popular ones to really listen to. And they all started sounding the same. It's like, why?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't have to listen to this or this. I mean, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and we don't want to focus on news because there's a lot of Destiny podcasts that do talk about news and there's nothing wrong with that. But we want to have like topics. We're not afraid to talk about the news if it comes up naturally, but topics that are kind of, go into our experiences in the game. Even though you may not have tried all of these things yet, I know I haven't tried every single Gambit armor set or whatever. We like to get everyone's opinions. I'm sure you've probably heard about the bird with the enhancement core discussion about Bungie's latest
kind of missed.
Well, It's actually not as big as I make it out to be, actually. I was setting you up there, but no.
Great.
Not really setting you up, but not explaining it well. But I guess you could say people have been a little upset about enhancement cores for infusing, right? You know, there's people that say,
oh, yeah,
it's too much. And I have opinions on that. It's not necessarily too much, but I feel like it's more nuanced where it can be too much if we're talking about also masterworking. But in the latest, you know, this week at Bungie, they basically defended their position, and they even mentioned this beforehand in Twitter throughout the week, saying, we're going to talk about enhancement cores again. And we were all hoping that they would maybe change it a little bit. But they basically defended their position, saying that enhancement cores are going to stay how they are. And there's some things, some small changes will be coming out. But people are not happy about that. People that are just getting started in the game or don't play that much, I guess somewhat understandably so, say that it's enhancement cores should not be part of infusion at all. I tend to think they shouldn't be a part, the same thing shouldn't be part as infusion as is masterworking. Maybe it should be something different. But how do you feel about enhancement cores? Have they ever been a problem for you when you've tried to infuse things, like not having enough?
I could certainly answer that one myself, and then Dez can pick up and let us know what his experience is. For me, I've always, in the past months and months, I've hovered around 80 to 100 masterwork cores. That was from melting or dismantling a lot of weapons from year one. That was from just saving them from dismantling a lot of weapons and such coming from after Forsaken. But there are a lot of ways that you can get masterwork cores now. And one of them that's been there since Forsaken launched has been Spider. Spider has sold the masterwork cores. And yeah, so if you go in every week and buy at least one or two, you can certainly add up the amount of masterwork cores that you have in your inventory. But one thing that's helped me keep my masterwork cores is not always infusing my current armor, but switching it around. If I'm set on a particular armor piece, I'll go ahead and infuse it up. But if I'm not necessarily set on it, or if I was bringing up a different character, I was just rotating my armor out pretty regularly. Weapons, I would always infuse up, but a couple masterwork cores here and there, and not doing it every single time there was like a one level increase, has helped to minimize the effect on me personally that the masterwork cores had. I can certainly see where people are coming from in the community, but for me, the balance of it right now is not bad. Like Kingsley said, a lot of people are like, should go back for masterworking, like the original name led to. For me, I'm kind of the middle ground. I can see where it can be an issue, but for me, it hasn't been totally an issue. They did mention in the future that they're going to be the increased access and control over enhancement core acquisition will help improve the balance for most people. So, well, it's just a wait in time. I know that's coming in the season of opulence, but for me right now, I seem to be okay. Dez, what are your thoughts? Have you run into any issues with it?
Well, I will say, again, this is kind of one of those times that line up with popular opinion. I wish they were just gone from enhancement or like at the infusion cost. I really do. Because, I mean, true, like, I play a lot and I usually end up having a fair excess of cores. But at the same time, I mean, I don't have that many masterworks. Because, I mean, there are actually a few weapons that I do have in my vault that I would actually love to masterwork. But I end up tucking them away and saving them just in, like, for like new seasons and stuff and like the infusion costs. And I don't know, because Bungie has said before they don't want that to be a choice, but that's like no matter what, as long as that's there, it always seems to be a choice like I have to make. And like so far, I do like work around the system. Like I said, I don't infuse, like, of course, I don't infuse for a couple of points. I usually wait for an over five difference to infuse. And like I said, that keeps me a stockpile, but I'm still like afraid to really use them and get like masterwork gear, which is actually like can be a huge bonus, like using fully masterwork weaponry. But of course, at the same time, I do also go for like the pinnacles, or, you know, at least like what was it when Breakneck and Loaded Question came out? I had them both within the week, and they're awesome weapons. And of course, like I said, they come fully masterworked. It's usually what I depend upon. And I don't know. Like I said, I personally wish they would go, but I can still work around the system that they implement.
Yeah, I agree with a lot that you said. I feel like it can be more nuanced, where why not just consider getting rid of it for infusing and even possibly increasing the cost of the planetary materials and increasing the cost of the glimmer to infuse, but then have this enhancement core / masterwork core, whatever you want to call it, only for the masterworking part. And I feel like ever since they've added it in, so my thing is two part. I agree that it's not that big of a deal if you know how to play it right, but I also do feel like I'd be fine if they removed it from the infusing part of the equation, maybe just only had it for the masterworking part of the equation.
And I'm right with you, Dez, too. I just recently started masterworking some of my weapons, and there are only a couple that I have that are fully masterwork. Breakneck, I think that came already masterwork, but one of the bygones that I got that had awesome roll, I masterworked that up. Yeah. My threat level, masterworked that up. Hammerhead, masterworked that up. Or my ringing nail auto rifle, masterworked that up. Badlander. A couple of the weapons that I use throughout the Destiny experience, I masterworked. I have not masterworked any of my armor. And like you said, some of that times, like when you're masterworking something, it can be a huge advantage. The resistance that you get for masterworking your armor would be huge. Definitely in PvP too.
Yeah.
So
like season
I am
two
missing out on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, cause this, the season two and beyond masterwork armor, I mean, that's a huge bonus because it doesn't even, season one armor gives you the extra super like armor or armor while in super or damage reduction, whatever you want to call it. And then season two and beyond gives you just these flat elemental resistances plus super armor, which it's like, holy crap. I would love to have like four sets of like masterworked armor.
I probably will get to that point too. And if I actually did that, if I actually masterworked the armor pieces, I probably would have no enhancement cores, and I would probably be super complaining about it. I would be on that side of the fence, like, let's take it away from the, like, infusing everything up and just keep it to masterworking.
Exactly.
Armor is so interesting because I also feel like, you know, every season we've had a power grind and we've had new armor to chase, and I would be like, is it even worth masterworking any of this armor? Because there may be a new set I like better a month and a half down the road, you know? So I don't know. It's hard to,
exactly.
And hard to know what to do there.
Yeah. Especially maining a hunter really sucks. Cause there's really only one good type of armor you can use. And that's survivalist. Like I definitely know there's mobility builds and mobility strategies. I really like survivalist armor. It just seems to be best like all around armor, in my opinion, for a hunter. But there are so few sources of survivalist hunter armor, especially when doing the power grind. It's like, oh, hey, here's this heavy hunter armor. Oh, no recovery. Oh, hey, here's this mobility hunter armor. Oh, practically nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And with all the Gambit Prime armor now that we're chasing after, and it's a lot to keep track. Speaking of the Gambit Prime armor, do we feel like that is something that we're going to go after certain builds or kind of mix and match? What are you guys' thoughts on that? I know I was looking at becoming a Sentry, but now I might just kind of do a half Sentry, half Reaper build myself. I don't know if there's any that you were looking at, Dez.
I don't really even know because, I mean, I'm definitely more thinking of like Sentry/Reaper, essentially. Okay, I'm thinking of like everything except for invading. I'm not the best of invaders, but I mean, I can do some work. Because after all, I did at least for the Malfeasance quest, I was actually able to get a full clear on my own. So, I mean, I can be fairly competent, but I do feel more comfortable with particularly any of the other roles. And I've kind of tried to think, because I haven't really been able to experience it like firsthand, but like there's probably somewhere out there that, you know, there's probably a guide of some like killer, like hybrid, you know, builds. But I don't know. I personally think like just because a lot of these like fourth, you know, last like perks are like really powerful, like really attractive and strong. So I don't know. I'm torn on that one.
Exactly. And I don't know your thoughts, Sim, but I'll just mention real quick, like when I was looking at the Sentry build, yeah, I was like, third perk, sure, that's fairly okay. I mean, if I put a shot on the Invader, it'll mark him for everyone else in the team. But ideally, someone wants to kill the Invader quickly anyways. And then the fourth perk would be better, but is it worth putting my whole build to that versus a mixed set? So I don't know. And I need to start playing around with that. You know, at first glance this season, again, people said, well, maybe there's not so much to do, but I've barely gotten tier three done. I have barely getting a sentry up to the level where it can be fully maxed out. And I haven't even really touched the other build outs. How about you, Sin? How are you in all that?
I'm late to the party on the tier three reckoning, so I haven't really started messing with these sets much. Just for the simple fact that you're not really building them at tier level one, you're building your main sets are basically tier three. I got a couple pieces, but never really wore them. For me, I wouldn't mind. I don't know if I'm going to try them as a multi-pieces from each set, because I haven't really played around with them that much. So probably a bad one to ask in that regards, but I probably will. Honestly, when I go to do it, I'm going to build out one set, play around with it, and then build out another set, play around with it, and build out the final set, play around with it. One, doing it that way, because you need all the pieces if you're going for the Reckoner title. And then once I get all the pieces, I'll probably play around with it. And like you said, maybe a hybrid build, maybe a couple pieces from each set.
Yeah. And the title also is something that, you know, I would potentially look forward to doing. And of course, you got to get all the sets, all the tags on your name to get that done. But so there's still a lot to do. Still working on Thorn Quest. I assume you still are also, Mr. Sin.
Yes, I'm on the void phase for mine. So the Crucible grind I haven't decided to do yet. One, because quick play, you basically need 500 kills for quick play, or you do competitive and Iron Banner and you need 200 kills. So with Iron Banner
and
coming up,
daunting to me.
Yeah. And I'm not big into competitive. So I've done it a couple times. I'm up to 20%. I'm just not fond of going into competitive and getting steamrolled every single time.
But Iron Banner coming up, that is actually some great news that, you know, we can have higher progress in there. And actually, some interesting thing in the news too about some Iron Banner changes this season is the opportunity to have buffs or nerfs to your power level, which I think this is an excellent idea. Who knows how exactly it will play out, but it gives people the ability that are a lower power level, you can get a temporary buff to your power level to be a little more competitive against people. And then the people at the higher power level, you can get that nerf to your power level to get you more progress in what you're trying to do. You can get the updated version of the Wizened Rebuke that's fully masterworked and has a curated role. So that's something that I actually would try to go for because I love, you know, fusion rifles.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the changes in Iron Banner at all, Des?
Yeah.
Great. Let's see. We have that mostly as our main topic. I think, let me pull this up here. I did want to mention something about tier three reckoning. Now, Sin, I'm trying to remember if you've hopped into tier three yet or not.
Not yet. I'm to that point, but I haven't actually done the tier threes yet.
Because we ran a bunch of tier two with you the other night. I love the reckoning and its idea. In fact, I would love if it was a little more involved, like how involved Gambit Prime is with our different loadouts. I'm a little sad that tier three is not as different as we were expecting it to be as opposed to tier two. It's really just tier two on a higher power level. I wonder if it was meant to be that way. It was kind of weird when tier three first came out. The streamers were running it. They were getting a different ending, and that might just be the fact of the endings are supposed to change each week, yet they're still going to be the same for tier two and tier three, and there's only two endings in general. So not a big deal, but I still secretly hope, as there were some rumblings, that there might be a secret tier four or heroic version of the activity. So we'll just have to see as that comes.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of the different modifiers each day, and we've had some hard ones, right, Sin, as we've gone in and tried to build that out.
Yeah. That is an understatement.
Yeah. And it's really interesting how right now in the game on the PvE side, warlocks are becoming more of the meta and definitely OP. And I love it because I'm a warlock main forever. And there's been many times where we've been lower status in the game compared to some people, right? It's always like Titan, Titan, Titan. And hunters are awesome and warlocks are awesome, but you know, we're kind of just certain roles. But if you want to go into Reckoning and win it, you always, this is the build out right now. You always want to have two warlocks, one Will of Radiance warlock, one Nova Bomb warlock, and one hunter with tether. And for the fourth person, you can have whatever, but really you should have a second hunter. Forget the Titans. Just kidding, Sin. We love you.
Hey, don't hate. I was running warlock the other night during my Osprey chase, and the double Nova bombs was crushing it for sure. So I do. Mm-hmm. I was enjoying the warlock, not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. What's your main, Dez? If I remember correctly, are you a hunter, right?
I am definitely hunter. I've been hunter since D1 beta.
That's awesome.
Which wasn't really my choice. Because again, like I had some friends that I started the beta with. And one of them's like, oh, I'm going to be a Titan again. Got other guys, oh, I'm picking a warlock. Like, yeah, I'll round out the team. I'll pick a hunter. Sure. I go through the Eyes Up mission and it's like, oh, wait, I stab people with a knife. Cool. I unlock my melee. Oh, I get to throw my knife into people's faces. This is mine forever. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I always want to. A hunter is like what I would consider my second character, and I just never have enough time to kind of get into it more, but I need to load that more because I have goals of being a better hunter and goals of being a Titan, but that's in like a different life where I have all the time in the world. Never have time for everything.
I see how it is. I see how it is.
I try and say I don't pick favorites, but I mean, if you go on like, you know, these like time tracker sites, yeah, my hunter time is definitely like over double like my warlock and Titan combined.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome having different you know, classes in the game. It's always been a fun thing to kind of have people to like group with and say, oh, this is better, that's better. And it's all for fun, of course, and it's a great way to experience the game. And I'm glad that we can actually have three character slots per one account too, so we can do it all if we want.
Oh yeah.
Dez, anything else you're looking forward to in the game that you haven't been able to experience yet?
Everything.
Bring it to me all.
Because, oh my God. Yeah, I have not been able to hop into the season with Drifter, but hearing about all these changes, I mean, I just, oh my God, I cannot wait just to, you know, have the veil taken away and just be like, because so far I've like just seen things, you know, secondhand, I guess, you know, YouTube videos and such. And it's like, oh, that looks cool. Oh, this seems like a good idea. Oh, that's probably difficult. Oh my God, Thorne's back. You know, let me check the massive breakdown sheet and see what. Okay, it's not too OP. It's kind of surprising. All right. You know, it's just like, I just want to get my hands on everything.
Yeah. Another reason why I'm probably going to be working more towards oxygen and delirium, you know, quicker than Thorne. I mean, I'm working on Thorne slowly also, but oh, yeah. To me, it's not as much of a style.
And now is definitely a good time for those that haven't played the game in a while or picking up the game for the first time because there is so much content. And I experienced this going back when I went and tried to grind out a little bit on PC, is you can multitask a lot of these quest lines, these weapon grinds, because there's a lot of things that you need to do. And a lot of them are similar for each quest or pursuit in your pursuits tab. You can get a lot of them done at once. So now's a perfect time if you haven't been in a while or just starting the game, like I said, for the first time, you can grind out a lot of this and catch up super quick.
Very true. Very true. I love it when you can double up, triple up, quadruple up on bounties and quests. And I know some people that didn't really get too heavy into the Black Armory season, but yet they are finally running the forges now and getting those powerful weapons. And you really can, if you do that a certain way, kind of just triple up on things that you're working on and feel very accomplished when you get those things done.
Oh, yeah.
Well, as we like to say in this podcast, we love the game and we're here to talk about it. And we think there's a lot of good things to come. I'm looking also forward to the next seasons and new raid lair. Who knows?
Or potentially raid again.
I know. And
I mean,
we've...
I was about to say that they said Raid Lair for the last season as well. It was like, you know what? We just made a raid, even though it's kind of Raid Lair length, but it's still like independent. It's like, it's still cool.
That was not a Raid Lair. That was a raid.
The space is large.
For sure. Right? Well, it's huge.
Have you passed it yet, Rick?
Oh, no, I actually have not touched it yet, but I have heard from the clan I'm currently in is like fairly large, but we do have like a lot of like raid people, and they can actually get through it like around like Raid Lair time, basically. And
but the space like, is very large.
Yeah. I can't comment on like the space or like how the encounters flow or anything. But like I said, all I have is from that secondhand knowledge of a bunch of like, you know, actual raiders, which I thought I was before. And then I joined this clan and it's like, oh, you guys are okay. That's right. This is what hardcore raiding is. Gotcha.
I love the raid. I think, you know, people calling it a raid lair. I mean, the space is large. You know, Sin and I have, passed it once or so, but, you know, the space is pretty cool, and it's not my favorite raid of all the raids, but I do think people should try it out that haven't tried it out yet. And speaking of people that raid, I want to give a great shout out to Buster Knuckle. I believe I first met him, and he's from the RNG cast, by the way, Des said at the beginning. And I believe I first met him through raiding, and maybe you too, Des. I'm trying to remember.
I do believe it was King's Fall.
Yeah, King's Fall. And then, but Buster, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I first started raiding with him on the Wrath of the Machine raid. We went in, and I might have raided with him on King's Fall too, but what I really remember, which is pretty cool, is we went in blind to Wrath of the Machine the first Friday it was out.
I was there for that.
Yeah.
And, because I had actually done it before and I was keeping my mouth shut, just kind of laughing at what, you know, everything.
Right, guys, there was a lot laughing at us because we were trying to figure it out. We did all right, I'm sure. How far did we get that for? I think got to the Zamboni, but then it was getting late and we had to call it for the first night. But
I do believe so.
good times. Yeah. And my wife was in that raid. She occasionally plays Destiny. Yeah. She's been out of it a little bit lately, but props to her. She's done raiding before. So yeah, I just wanted to share, you know, I love the Destiny community that we have with different groups. You know, we can have different clans, different podcasts, and a lot of us are from Destiny Reset and we have our own groups now. And I just love how we can help each other out. You know, people that need help comp, they want to run comp. There's someone out there that'll be like, yeah, man, I'll help you through it. And then people that want to raid and has never done a raid before, there's someone like, yeah, I love to raid, I'll help you through it. And that's what's great about this community, and that's why we wanted to have, again, this podcast and have people like you on that can just, you know.
Oh, for sure, because that's definitely, like I said, my same, like, advice, which is the same advice I heard for potentially months, you know, listening to Destiny Reset, was, you know, get involved with the community, you know, come into the community, like, meet some great people, hang out with some great people. That's definitely the advice, like, find a place. Just jump in and become integrated. I mean, I found many of my like best friends, you know, Buster Knuckle, Gorilla Golf, Business, you know, these people are some of the closest people I've come to, you know, in my life. And I've never met them face to face.
Yeah.
But we are just like, especially me and Buster and like Gorilla Golf, I mean, we're just so close friends. You know, if we need something, like we're there for each other. Not even in game, just like outside. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. And like I said, I would not have had such like a lasting thing without Destiny. And it can be super weird, you know, to say that, you know, thanks to video games, I found my best friend.
It's great. You know, people should not have a stigma against that.
Oh, no.
Because it's, and you know, we know our friends over, there's great groups like Project Guardians that help with mental health resources. And I just think, Having gaming is a way that, well, first of all, you have a wider audience of people that you can meet. There may not be someone local who lives in your area that you connect with, right? And it's just a great, easy way to start chatting with people, people can build each other up through these cooperative gaming experiences where at a job, there might be preconceived notions and how people interact with different people. And so I think it's great. I mean, we all have to take it in stride at times, and there's real life stuff we have to accomplish. But I think that whether it's gaming, whether it's podcasting, whether it's whatever you're into online, if you can find positive people to play with and people that can build you up and you can build up other people, then it's all we can ask for in life, right? It's the way to help everyone out.
No, for sure. For sure.
Well, anything else you'd like to add, Sin, for this evening?
No, I think we covered a lot of good stuff today. And I really do appreciate Des coming on. And like you said, it's a lot about building communities. And one big thing that I see us doing here with this podcast is building a big community and a big network of people that enjoy the game as much as we do. And that's what I got.
Excellent.
And I really wanted to start singing the Friends theme song a minute ago. It felt like it would be right.
We can sing on this podcast. As long as we don't sing for too long, you get in trouble. Just kidding.
True.
Well, thanks.
I think it's like 5 seconds or something.
Okay. Start.
Can't remember.
Stop. Oh, too slow. No. Hey, thanks so much for coming on tonight, Des Raven. And
oh, no, it was my pleasure
having you on. And
it's really an honor.
We will really gladly have you on again in the future. As we build our momentum and again, listeners, everyone who's listening to the show, we'll have Des give any information if you're so inclined to that. But again, check out the RNG cast. Please check that out.
Yes.
So Des, do you have any other contact info that you have?
As far as places to reach me, I mean, you can find me on a few Discords, such as the RNG Discord, which you can check out at the RNG cast on Twitter. Have my own Twitter, which actually me and Buster kind of run the RNG Twitter. So you're kind of getting in touch with one of us there anyway. But I do have a Twitter at @DES_Raven because, you know, I had to throw in the underscore because otherwise it was taken.
Yeah.
Such is the life of Twitter.
That sounds familiar.
I know, right?
Me too.
But yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of projects I have on hold. One thing I'm currently still updating, I do run a spreadsheet of weapons. Where to find them, their roles, things like that. Everything except for time to kill information, which, of course, like I said, you can't talk about spreadsheets without bringing up massive breakdowns, which if you don't know about that, you can go to my spreadsheet, and I have a link to their spreadsheet. So check it out. So
that's awesome.
Like, I also link, like, all of my sources where I get information, so if you want to do it yourself, it's all you. I mean, One mindset I have about running the spreadsheet is I kind of do it for my own, like, database and information, and I just throw it out there just in case someone else can find it useful. Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise, yeah, I mean, check it out or not. I mean,
I think that's great. And do we find that through your Twitter? Is that what you mentioned? Or
yes, that is my pinned tweet is usually the most up-to-date link to the spreadsheet on my own Twitter.
Perfect. So everyone check that out. Yeah. Well, excellent. Thanks. We are all about community resources. No one should think whatever they have is insignificant or small. We may even have like artists on in the future that just drew a picture here and there, but we're all about promoting. Thanks. Sin, where can people find you?
Oh boy. You can find me on twitch.tv/SinMedia. That is Sin, C-Y-N. And on the Twitter, same thing with the underscore, Sin_Media. Those are the main places to find me. Hang out, chat, PM, DMs, all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. And you can find me at my gamertag is Kingsley Mac, and that is also my Twitch where I occasionally stream. And my Twitter, as for mentioned, we often have issues there. My Twitter is a little different. It is MC Kingsley, but hopefully one day I can change it to Kingsley Mac. You can find this show on iTunes, The Guardian Hub, and our website is also at theguardianhub.com. And we will also be on other platforms soon, and we'll have news on that also. Well, thank you very much, Des, and thanks for being on the show.
Like I said, it's my pleasure because I have a lot of goals in starting podcasts is, you know, networking and creating larger communities. And I am all for, you know, right, we at RNG are basically all for bringing people together. one of our themes is a lot of people think it's feast or famine when it comes to podcasts or community or content or something. The way we see it is sit down, you know, there's plenty for everyone.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, it's been excellent talking, and we will definitely have you back again.
Oh, I'll be here with bells and whistles.
Awesome. And thanks as always for joining tonight, Sin.
Absolutely.
With that, have a good night.
Good night.